Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. Jeremy filed no-showed me as of about 2 minutes ago. And so Chris Stanton is filling in for me, as Anthony Anani was also booked, but, you know, Stanton did a good job the last time we were on this, and he's got some MSU in his blood, so we're going to talk about that. If you want more U of M on this program that's supposed to be about the rivalry, talk to Jeremy. Yeah, you can go back. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Listen to our show last week with Jay Green, which I thought was a very good show. We got former Michigan State safety and 2000 team MVP Richard Newsom on tomorrow. Thomas Wright is going to be on next Tuesday after he attends Michigan State's practice earlier in the day. Will Whitaker will be on Wednesday, and we just booked JU Culprit for Thursday. And we might actually be having a couple more people on, so stay tuned, and we will see what we can do. Look, it's hate week for Michigan State. I know Michigan's got a glorified bye this Saturday against Northwestern. Me and Jeremy, maybe, will be on to talk about that on Thursday. But that's what our schedule looks like so far, and look, we're going to try to fill it up next week, so because that's what we're supposed to do here. Really quick, Chris, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the game, I want to talk about that play. And I think you know the one that I'm talking about, the one where Peyton Thorne should be nominated for the Biletnikoff Award. The way he kind of pointed that football right up along the sideline.
First of all, listening to your Murderers Row list of folks you're going to have on the show, I wonder what I'm doing here, but it's a pleasure to be here. It's one of those miracle seasons. And so far, when, you know, you get those breaks, Indiana, ironically enough, the team that we just played seemed to have those moments last year. That's us this year. And Peyton Thorne just absolutely going up and getting the ball and getting his foot down. Yeah, you're right. It looked like he's been playing receiver his whole life. And for the former punter turned defensive player, Tyler Hunt, or tight end rather, to make that throw under duress, incredible. There's nothing else you can really say about it. It's, things are falling into place, and hopefully it's not midnight, and October 30th is our carriage doesn't turn into a pumpkin.
You want to know the most impressive part about that, and I found this out. Tyler Hunt, left-handed. Threw that with his right.
Yeah, that makes it even more unbelievable. Just amazing play. Sad that they had to go to replay to confirm it because it was pretty obvious even to us. But nonetheless, amazing. There's a lot of Michigan State fans have really canned on the team for the performance at Indiana. But we did a lot of things right. Yeah, of course, everyone wants to score 40 plus points and, you know, and have Walker run for 200. That's not going to happen every time. And Indiana plays us tough. That's a rivalry game. At Bloomington was tough. Yeah. And it just seems like that's a tough place for us to play. That and West Lafayette, too, which we got to go to. And it just seems like that's we did what we needed to do to win. And, you know, it's on to the next. Now, were there a bunch of questionable calls? You know, I'm sorry, but it's not a roughing the passer play when the quarterback still has the ball in his hand. But umpteen questionable penalties and different things. We survived the ultimate trap game. Xavier Henderson even alluded to the fact that the guys have circled the Michigan game, of course, and they've been thinking ahead a little bit. And I think that caught up with them too.
Yeah, you're thinking ahead. You have John O'Neill's crew, which is just a clown show. Group, just like they did Billamoni Hayes, and now all of a sudden he's on some channel as a rules analyst, which I think is just completely laughable. But Indiana, here's the thing, is they get dogged a lot, and it's understandable why. You know, their history is not that good. You look at their history, it's like Antoine Randall And that's pretty much where you're at. You know, maybe a couple running backs here and there. But this was a team that still had Fry Vogel, who's a very good receiver, who should have taken more advantage of Michigan State secondary, which has struggled. When you look at how disciplined they are defensively, and this kind of goes into my thing about Jay Johnson, because I still have issues with Jay Johnson. And people sit there and they didn't even talk about him during the Rutgers game, but this is the thing that I've been talking to Jeremy about for about 2 weeks, is I want a 65-yard, not a play, a 65-yard touchdown drive. We haven't had that.
No, we haven't.
And Cal Halliday had that pick six, and you know, the defense is incredibly underrated, especially given how bad that secondary's played. You look at what they do rushing, what they do getting to the quarterback. They give up third downs a lot, yes. But when Kimbrough plays like he did, when Williams plays like he did, because Williams, I thought, was the worst player on this Michigan State team, and he's starting at corner. Williams was impressive on Saturday. And like I said, Indiana's receivers aren't exactly – it's just they don't have the best quarterback in the world to get them the ball, whether it's Tuttle or Penix, the way Penix has played this year. I think Tuttle might actually be an improvement. That means a lot coming into a bye week. You can get rested. You can get focused. Now you can take a look at this game film. You can see what you did on the defensive end, and you can figure it out. Offensively, Jay Johnson still got to figure it out because he can't sustain a drive to save his life. You look at this game, he was running, and he kept trying to run, and he kept trying to beat it. And yes, I understand that you want to, but when you look at the success that Peyton Thorne had on the play actions, that, especially against a secondary that had a player injured, that is something that he needs to realize he can do more. He can do that on first down on the first play of the game. He doesn't have to try to hope Walker breaks an 80-yarder, you know, 10 seconds into the game. He can play action. Everybody's going to come up because he is the best running back in America, despite, you know, two similar games with Nebraska and Indiana where he wasn't at his peak performance. But that falls on Johnson because – you also have the second best group of receivers in the entire Big Ten.
I'm curious to see how Johnson flips it up a little bit this during this bye week coming out of it. It scares me that we've kind of given Michigan a blueprint how to stop us. Nebraska and IU, they were disciplined. They stayed home. They were watching for the secondary move from Walker and bottled him up. And Michigan defensively is very, very tough. And I'm concerned, too, about our offensive line. Still too many penalties, and you're going to have that the way that we basically hockey sub our offensive linemen. And it's great that we're playing so many guys in case of injury and different things, but there's some cohesiveness and there's some predictability that does concern me because Michigan is a top-flight defense. They're gonna get in the backfield. The question is, will Johnson – adjust the schemes accordingly, and will our blocking be able to keep the pressure off Thorne? Because it's going to be a long day for Michigan State if Peyton Thorne is running for his life.
Yeah, and part of how you get to contain Walker, especially on the bounce backs running off of zones and everything else, is to keep your ends home.
Mm-hmm.
And the ends for Michigan – second to none in the Big Ten.
Correct.
Well, here's the thing. Collectively, you could put Ponishuk and Beasley up there the way that they – when Beasley's healthy, the way that Michigan State's defensive line is playing. But that being said, I'd still take Michigan just because, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is so much better than everybody else. Yeah, you've got to start mixing things up a little bit. And like I said, I know we're talking about Michigan. We'll talk about Michigan Northwestern on Thursday, or I'm going to try it. Jeremy's got to do it.
Let Jeremy talk about that. I'm not the guy to talk that way.
So we're looking ahead a little bit here to the Michigan game, and part of that includes the kickoff time, which is announced. I know you're not thrilled about a noon kick.
Me, on no.
I kind of like it, but, you know, let's get your thoughts first.
Well, it's the big noon kickoff. It's Fox's best way to you put their best game out there and get the best ratings they can. I get it. I have a certain love for 3:30 games, starting in the daylight, finishing as a night game. Spartan Stadium is, it's, you know, as you and I have sat in that stadium so many times under the lights, the woodshed is magic at night. And I think that would be an added advantage for Michigan State, but that is just not going to be, which is, it is what it is. Yeah, I was disappointed when I saw that, but I understand.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you're going against all the other quote-unquote JV games. This is going to be the focus. If Mel Tucker wants to recruit, winning a game like this with all eyes on him, this is the way to do it. And you do it without rivaling ABC's 3:30 game. You don't rival the night games. This is going to be the look, and the only problem is, and, you know, this is unfortunate for you, is you got to listen to Joel Klatt talk about Jim Harbaugh for 3.5 hours.
that's why the mute button was invented.
Yeah. Well, I say for you because someone just scored a golden ticket yesterday.
Oh, man. Well, my son has soccer this weekend, so I'm probably going to have one earbud in one ear and my eyes on a soccer pitch. So, yeah, lucky you. I envy you, but yeah, definitely. I'll probably listen to George as opposed to the TV announcers.
Yeah, and but like I said, I don't have a problem with the noon game. I personally, for me, I like the noon game. It's a 2.5 hour drive up. You know, it takes away a little bit of that tailgate time, but at the same time, you know, I get to be home at night, you know, and, you know, spend some time with my daughter and at the end of the day. And for a 3:30 game, given where I live and everything else, distance to the stadium, all that travel time, it's just not conducive. And
well, I'm going to tell you, in the stadium, you're going to be yelling at the guy with the red hat to get off the field quite a bit, because there will be commercial after commercial. And being the big noon game, that saga, that's not going to be a quick game.
I'm going to be yelling at the guys with the blue hats to get off the field.
Okay, even better.
But, yeah, so and also I heard the players like it. You know, you're not waiting around all day. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And so I do kind of get that, you know, psychological aspect of it. And look, this is the way I see it. If Ponashuk and Xavier Henderson and Cal Halliday, or Scotty Hazleton calls him Rick No Flair, because
yeah, I've seen that.
Have gloves because you have to hear about that all the time, blah, blah, blah. But as long as those guys are happy with the noon kickoff, they do whatever they want. That defense was solid last week. And, you know, an aspect that I know that you're fond of, me and Jeremy, we've been keeping this running tracker between Michigan and Michigan State. Either somebody from the state of Michigan has represented the Big Ten Player of the Week awards every single week. Somebody's been represented, whether it was Peyton Thorne, whether it was Ojabu at U of M, whether it was Kenneth Walker in week one, Jalen Naylor last week, Matt Coughlin.
Reed.
Matt Coughlin, special teams player of the week. And so the streak lives still, and I'm just going to go out on a crazy limb. Somebody from the University of Michigan is going to represent for the state next week as well, they play Northwestern. And
yeah, we know how really, porous Northwestern is, so really I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, and look, Coughlin, though, came up big. 49-yard field goal, 51 or 52-yard field goal.
Right.
And there's 6 points in a 5-point game, which, by the way, also covered the spread. Mm-hmm. If keep track of that, which I had other bets besides that parlay that you and I both were.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's not talk about that. Thanks for nothing, Iowa.
Yeah.
And Rutgers.
And Georgia.
And
anyways, one of the stories that started circling around. Was it even Saturday night? I think there were rumors starting to circle. Ed Orgeron is out at LSU. And apparently Michigan State is being looked at as a feeder school for the LSU football program. And it does not help that Mel Tucker, given the bye week, Mel Tucker does not have his Monday press conference. And so you don't get to have that reporter ask questions. What about the rumors? Just so he could go out and he could shoot it down. And I feel like something like that needs to happen. But what are your thoughts in regards to just the rumors in general? And where
it worries at? It worries me none. Don't you want to have a coach who's wanted other places? And here's the thing. It's LSU. Don't think that Mel Tucker is the only one on the list here. Lane Kiffin, Luke Fickell, possibly James Franklin, even Jimbo Fisher. Yeah, at Stoops at Kentucky. That Mel Tucker kind of right now the script is out on him as well. Is he a transient coach? He only spent 1 year at Colorado. The situation with the Jaguars, the NFL, it wasn't there very long. He's been a lot of places. And I know it's different when you're a position coach or a coordinator and things, but I'm not worried at all. And this will take care of itself. LSU, would you really want to go to LSU after a coach wins a national championship just a couple of years ago, and now he's fallen out of graces that quick? You know, LSU, 10-2 is almost a disaster for them. 10-2 at Michigan State, and you're getting the keys to the kingdom. You're sitting only second to Izzo. So the expectations and the stress and everything else, I don't know why he would want to leave Michigan State, but hey, we've got a coach that's sought after. We've got a coach that's turning heads and doing things. And you cannot compare the situation to Nick Saban. When Saban was at Michigan State, we had a president in McPherson that had no love for athletics at all, and did not make it convenient for him at all. And props to Nick Saban for getting a better job. This time around, obviously, Tucker has a nice contract at Michigan State. I wouldn't be surprised if his agent tries to get a little bit more out of it. But no, I'm not at all worried about this. I think what it is, it's the Detroit media doing what the Detroit media does right before the Michigan game to stir the pot. Blue wall, plain and simple.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. Is Mel Tucker's already the 13th highest paid coach. LSU would have to shell out, and obviously that's something that they would be willing to do. That's something that they're able to do. But let's not sit here and act like LSU is Alabama either. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, let's be real. Let's not act like either of those schools are either of those schools without Nick Saban going there first. LSU was nothing before Nick Saban. Michigan State was a top five team. You know, they ended up that year beating Florida in the Citrus Bowl, and that's something that we're going to talk to Richard Newsom about tomorrow, just because he was a part of that and that transition, even though he was not there the next year, as he was with the New Orleans Saints. But it's really interesting because LSU's not on Michigan State's level, historically speaking. When you look at, you know, the prestige of the program, now is the name still there? Is the conference affiliation there? Yeah, absolutely. Of course it is. But guess what? When you go to LSU, you're going to get your butt kicked by Alabama. You're going to get your butt kicked by Georgia 3 out of every 4 years. You're going to lose those games. Oklahoma's going to be there soon. And I'm And Caleb Williams might be there still, the freshman who's just tearing it up for the Sooners after replacing Spencer Rattler. You're not going to like playing there.
No.
Now, Death Valley at night or whatever, probably one of the two or three toughest places to play. Penn State at night during the whiteouts, one of those other ones that you got to put on that list. But Death Valley at night is just something to behold. That being said, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think that it's much of a step up when you really think about it. But Joe Burrow was 1 year at LSU. Before that, they were okay. I mean, they have good defense and everything else, but they don't offer what Michigan State does. Now, can they offer a little bit more money? Probably, because they don't have as much invested in the basketball program as Michigan State does. And so there's got to be that little split since Tom Izzo, you know, more or less de facto runs the athletic department. But that being said, you also have Matt Ishbia just dumping money in State, and part of that's going to be a football facilities upgrade, which is going to be coming as soon as the season is over. And so I don't think he takes the job. It concerns me because he has hopped around, and that was my one concern. And you can go back and you can find any show from last year. I was like, my one problem with this hire is if Mel Tucker has any level of success, I don't like how he jumps around. It's not, he hasn't always gotten promotions when he has jumped around. And so that was really concerning for me. And so, yeah, I'm leery of this. But at the same time, at this point, he needs to just come out and say, he can use it for leverage to get a little bit of an increase, but he's the 13th highest paid coach. Okay. Like, you can't ask for much more than what he's getting right now, because Michigan State opened up the checkbooks for him in a way that they would never do for a coach who's won 3 Big Ten championships, probably would have won a national championship in 2013.
Notre Dame, pass interference.
Yeah, or even if there was a playoff, but, I mean, yeah, Michigan State would have been higher ranked than Auburn. And so they won't open the checkbook for him in that way. They're going to do it now. Allen Haller is still different than Beekman. And Beekman was the one who put that money out there. Beekman with the board. And obviously, we know that there were some issues resounding that and surrounding that, and a certain coach from Cincinnati, according to the rumors. So I don't think he goes. I don't want him to go. But at the same time, I think that he's going to look at it in a way that if the opportunity,
financially speaking, presents itself, I think he takes it. And that's what concerns me. That being said, I think Michigan State will still try to match, or they'll get it as close as possible. And he can continue to build what we think he's building here.
If you're Mel Tucker, I'm sure you listen. You know, you probably go through the process, because more than likely this is not Mel's final destination. You know, we've kind of been a little bit spoiled, or a lot spoiled, with Tom Izzo and the fact of how he's been here forever. And D'Antonio was here is his last stop. And I believe that's still the case. You know, it's funny that unnamed coach from the state of Ohio, Vegas actually has a higher odds to replace Coach O at LSU than Mel Tucker. So I just don't see, and obviously, you know, LSU is paying Ed Ogeron $17 million to leave. But I just think that they're going to go bigger than Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker was well, I'm sorry, I lost you. What was that?
I said I was
I think they're going to go for a bigger fish. I just don't see Mel Tucker being the guy that they would get right now. Now, maybe the $17 million buyout puts a little bit of cramp in their style, but I got to believe LSU has the money to almost get whoever they want. I just don't see Mel Tucker as being their first choice, no matter how hard Detroit media bangs on that drum.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the thing, is I want Mel Tucker to come out and shut it down. Now, if he shuts it down, tells his play and, you know, talks to him. If he shuts it down, at least for the season, that's what I want. If he, you know, you can't just sit there and tell LSU, hey, you know,
screw you without listening. Because I,
look, even I've got a policy. I'll listen to anybody. You know, I've interviewed for jobs that pay less than what I currently make, and I've listened to them just to see what they offer because, you know, the other
perks of working for another company may be a little more enticing than what I'm currently getting. So you'll listen to anybody, and I'm sure he'll listen to LSU, like you said, but he needs to have, like, these backdoor channels with LSU alternately, as sketchy as that sounds. You know, shut it down for the players, shut it down for the fans, shut it down for the Michigan game, shut it down for the season. And then if you want to talk to them afterwards, talk to them afterwards. Don't make it a big deal. And then
handle your business.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's already shut it down with the players, though. Mel Tucker is, if we've learned anything about him in a short amount of time here, he plays a lot of things close to the vest. You're not going to get a lot of detailed answers out of him. I would hope that I would hope that that's the case, but you never know.
Yeah. And look, he's still
got the Tucker radio show to do. I think he's still scheduled for that this week. And so, at the very least, you can't help but think that that's going to be a question that's going to be asked on Thursday.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I think that, I mean, at the same time,
Spartan Media Network is obviously, you know, in bed with Michigan State University. And so, maybe it's going to be one of those things,
Tucker mixes it before they go on air,
but
he does play stuff close to the vest, but at the same time, like, publicly speaking, look, this
is a very, very fragile fan base. They've been hurt by Nick Saban, who went to LSU, took you with him to LSU after you were a graduate assistant at Michigan State, and so you just can't help but feel this way about it. And so I think he just needs to do it for the sanity of the fans, because you were right. You know, Michigan State was spoiled by D'Antonio.
They've been spoiled by Izzo. I had no idea what a coaching search looked like when D'Antonio stepped down. I had no idea what was happening. I didn't, you know, the rumors that were around Fickell, the rumors around Tucker, and the rumors surrounding Beekman and the Board of Trustees around it, and just everything
just made me completely nauseous. And so
I,
like you said, I don't think this is, you know, where he lands. I don't think he's going to ride this until he retires. But at the same time, I don't think he takes this LSU one either, because, like I said, Michigan State, historically speaking, is a better program than LSU.
It is what it is. And,
you know, go look at the national championships and everything else. Yes, LSU's had a good spurt, but they didn't have that spurt until Saban was there. Then they had Les Miles, who's a pretty good coach. And so, and then they ended up on Orgeron, who, you know, got an LSU transfer and, you know, took a national championship, and now he's out the door 2 years later. Like, you don't, this, like I said, the money might not be the same, but the situation in Michigan State right now is better. And so I think Tucker, like I said, would be just better off staying put. He's better off the quicker he shuts it down. And,
I mean, that's where I land on this. You know, like I said, with my job, you know, I'll listen to people who pay a little bit less
because perks may be better. Michigan State's going to have to pay less than LSU because LSU's apparently got money for their basketball team, which sucks. but the perks are why I'll be willing to listen to anybody. Michigan State right now has those perks. They have Ishbia backing the program, who's – he's top – what is he? Top 12 richest people in the world.
Yeah, that was the best decision Izzo ever made, was keeping Matt Ishbia on his team and having him be the human victory cigar in 2000. Boy, has that paid off.
Yeah, both literally and figuratively speaking. And Ishbia is dumping money into Michigan State right now. Dan Gilbert dumps money into Michigan State. You have it's billionaires fighting over who can donate more. It's just
we got excited when Draymond Green dumped a few million, and that little did we know that this would follow.
Yeah, and so you have the money that's being pumped into the program. You have a athletic director that's, like you said, McPherson was 100% focused on basketball. You know, it
because
neither football team was successful
until Saban and Izzo both rolled around, and Izzo got it just a little bit quicker than Saban did, so that's where McPherson focused. Got to where, okay, hey, this is a competitive program now. And so that's ultimately where we're at. You got any last thoughts about Indiana coming up bye week?
I just hope that we address some of the blocking schemes, because I'm already starting to have nightmares about Peyton Thorne running for his life. I think Peyton Thorne is going to need to run a little bit more to kind of stretch the field. Let's put pressure on Michigan's secondary. And on the other side, make Michigan throw the ball. For me, the difference is going to be what can this staff do to prepare our offensive line so that we can look a little bit different schematically, so the book is not out on us from the Nebraska game and the Indiana game. And then I think we can bottle up Corum and Haskins better than most. I don't think we'll absolutely shut them down, but let's make them throw the ball in the air. So that's where the game's going to be won and lost, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think whoever can throw it, obviously better. I think Michigan can run it better against Michigan State's defense than what Michigan State can against Michigan's, just because of a lot. I think because Michigan State's just so bad on the third and shorts. You know, you sit there and you avoid your zone blocking scheme and try to go into more of a man blocking, and it becomes a little more difficult. And you don't see them getting the push, the desired push that you want. And so I think that I think that Michigan will be able to run it better. I think Michigan State's going to be able to throw it better. I'm not too concerned about the pass rush just because Peyton Thorne's got the ability to elude defenders. But, yeah, typically, you know, at the end of this, when we get these guests on, we do, you know, the spread bets and everything else and predictions. The spread is not out. I know the Michigan one is. So I'm going to hit you Michigan first and then just a prediction for the Michigan State game, because I just with our schedule, who we got coming on,
I don't think we'll have time to get you on again.
Michigan's favored by 21.5 over Northwestern.
I think they're going to get caught looking ahead just a little bit, but it's Northwestern, so it's not going to matter. Michigan will beat Northwestern 34-17.
Okay, so you got Northwestern.
I've got Michigan winning the game, but the 21. Yeah, it's close. Maybe a 34-20. I think that Michigan's going to get caught looking ahead a little bit, and that's kind of been a bugaboo place for them. The game is the game in Ann Arbor? Yeah,
not sure.
I'm pretty sure it is. I've only seen that promo 50,000 times. I should know this by now. But no, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit closer. If Northwestern covers the spread, I could definitely see that happening. But they know what's at stake, and Northwestern has been not been great. But that's a bugaboo team for them. Michigan struggles a little bit with Northwestern from time to time.
All right, and then not this weekend, but next weekend obviously is the big game. The part of the reason we came up with the name of our show, obviously, was 6 years ago from yesterday. And what do you have?
What do you think is going to happen on that Saturday?
I'm probably going to have more nightmares and wake up in the middle of the night and apparently put myself on the offensive line, and that's not good. Matt Coughlin, sixth-year senior, is money. He won the game last year for us there. It's going to come down to a field goal game. Michigan State, 30. Michigan 27.
Okay. So that's one in favor of Michigan State. Everybody else that we have lined up on the guest list went to Michigan State. Obviously you did too. Everyone else on the guest list played for Michigan State. And so I'm
mine is College of Education. That's it has nothing to do with Spartan Stadium.
Yeah. But hopefully Michigan gets a little bit of an education on football.
At the woodshed.
At the woodshed, yeah. And so, like I said, a busy couple of weeks for us. Richard Newsom on tomorrow, who spent some time in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints, 2000 team MVP. We will talk to him. He actually played while Tucker was a GA at Michigan State. We'll talk to him about all of that. Thursday, we got our Michigan Northwestern preview show. I'm still working on a couple other guests that I'm waiting to hear back from. And then next week, it is Thomas Wright on Tuesday, William Whitaker on Wednesday. I did that purely for alliteration purposes so I could remember when I read it off at the end of this. And then,
well done.
Thursday, we have J.U. Kulkrick. Not really a day that starts with letter J, so we just put him on Thursday's show. But, we'll look forward to talking to all those guys. And like I said, few others are still waiting to hear back from, but it should be a good couple of weeks for us here at the Trouble with the Snap podcast. Hopefully it will be a good game in 2 weeks, and we will talk about that over the next 12 days. Thank you again, Chris, for coming on. I know I called you about a minute before we started the show to come on and fill in for Jeremy. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
A lot of good stuff, and we will definitely talk to you later. But I am Tyler Hayward. This is the Trouble with the Snap podcast.